If you'll take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. We're going to be looking at two or three different passages of Scripture this evening as we consider the last of our subjects on the fences of the Bible, the barriers that God has put in place. And there's one barrier that was established way back in the Old Testament times. We read about it in Exodus 26 and in Leviticus chapter 16. That there was to be a curtain of separation, a veil, a barrier between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. Inside the Holy of Holies, you would have found the Ark of the Covenant that was there, the two angels that would have been their wings extended over the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat was there, and each year the high priest would enter into that area. Often with a rope tied around his ankle as he went inside, because no one was allowed in there apart from the high priest, and they could only come once a year. If you were to go in there and have some type of light, you would see a pedestal on top of the mercy seat that was covered with the dried blood of the past. It would have been very ugly to see. They would go in there and take the hyssop and dip it into the blood, and they would sprinkle it on top of the mercy seat there. And then after a time of intercession, the high priest would back out and come outside the veil. With the years that went by, the curtain grew in size. The temple, the tabernacle, the curtain was only about 30 feet tall. By the time we get to Solomon's temple, it's grown to 40 feet in height. And then when you get to Herod's temple, that we have recorded that the veil was rent, it was over 60 feet high. Now, just imagine, please, with me, the size of that. It was anywhere from 4 to 14 inches thick because of the layers that they had, and the curtain was not flat. The curtain was bunched. So no light was allowed entered in there, and it would be a bunch curtain that would spread over a 15 to 20 foot length, 60 feet tall. And it was very, very heavy. It was multicolored, we're told in the scriptures. It had blues and purples and gold that were embedded into the material. Herod extended the length by 20 feet from the old one because he wanted it to be magnificent. Not for any spiritual purposes, you might understand, but Herod wanted to make a big show, and so he made this huge curtain, and you can kind of get an idea. The picture's kind of fuzzy, I apologize for that, but here is the curtain that's there, and you can see a man here below, and this curtain being split in half. I want to read that account. It's recorded in two verses, and by the way, it's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew gives the most detail. If you'll look with me at chapter 27, and we'll look at verse 50 there in that passage. And we read there, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. He gave up the ghost. He willingly let his spirit leave his body. And at that moment, verse 51, notice this, please. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. There's some significant things that I want to point out tonight as we look at this barrier, if you want to call it a fence. It kept people out for a reason, because mankind were sinners. They were lawless. And the high priest alone was allowed to enter into the Holy Holies and make atonement for the people. The blood of the bull was taken and the hyssop dipped down in there and sprinkled on that as a reminder that they needed God. His presence dwelt there in the Holy Holies. But man could not go in there freely. There was a barrier. The curtain, in many ways, represents the barrier of the curse of sin. And we're going to look at that tonight, and we're going to see some of the testimonies that are given to us in Hebrews about the significance of the veil. And we're actually told there that the veil was his body. He was rent for our sin. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your goodness to us. I thank you for the testimony of this rent veil, a barrier that was opened up because of the work of Jesus Christ. I pray that you might teach us from your word tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Can anyone say something unique about the tearing of the veil? Top to bottom. Now, the only way they could reach the top was through a series of ladder work that would be built to be able to get up to the top of that, 60 feet in height. That's pretty tall. Our gymnasium at the center is only 35 feet, all right? Imagine another 25 feet on top of that. This massive curtain. I worked in college along with Eric Opager at Rhoda Haver Auditorium, and we worked on the stage crew. And we worked in the back there where from the bottom to the top was around 11 stories, all right? And the basement went down 2 stories. There was a stage that they had purchased from the Metropolitan Opera in New York City way back in the 40s. They moved it to Greenville, South Carolina. They installed it in the Rhoda Haver Auditorium, but they had to dig these footers that went down several stories because the screws that turned, that lowered the stage up and down were run by 2 huge 100 horsepower electric motors. And they went deep down into the ground, where it went into this greasy vat to keep the screws lubricated all the time. When they went down, went up. And there were several times over the years that we were called upon. Rarely did it go all the way down, but sometimes we would do that just to test and make sure that everything was functioning properly. And that big old lift would go down. And we're talking about a stage that was about 75 feet across. It also had several circular periods in there that would spin as well. So they were embedded in there. It was a massive type thing. And the Metropolitan Opera said they wanted to upgrade. So Bob Jones got it, and they still have it. It's been working now for over probably 100 years, that particular unit. But I remember that huge stage, and then the curtains. The curtains were on rods that extended about 80 feet long that would cover so everything was blocked on the side stages. And they went up almost 8 stories. They would be lifted up and other curtains would come down and you would be constantly changing. Backgrounds, curtains, scenes would go up and down. And we had these motors that ran those. You would engage the motor and it would start pulling it up. All these cables were all up in there. And it made you understand just how monstrous this curtain was in that regard. Most of the curtains that were built for Rhoda Haver Auditorium weighed anywhere between 1,000 and 2,000 pounds. Spread out over 80 feet, very thick and very heavy. It took the whole stage crew, when we changed curtains, they would have 15 or 20 of us lined up there and we'd all take a section and try to move that curtain downstairs. It would be lowered on the lift, downstairs, bundled, packaged, and sent off to the warehouse if it wasn't going to be used again. Massively heavy, trying to maneuver those things. And here was this curtain that Herod had made. Beautiful, he followed the Old Testament scripture about the colors and the weaving and so forth, but he made this massive curtain. And you know what the Lord did? He, from top to bottom, he just ripped it. Could any human do that? Not one human could do that. They didn't have the tools, they didn't have the whereabouts to be able to take a curtain and rip it in half that was 4 inches thick at the main part, and when it was bunched together, up to 14 inches thick. There was no human way that this was possible, and yet God, when His Son died, ripped that curtain in half as an eternal symbol to us that now we have access to the Holy of Holies. We have access directly to God through Jesus Christ. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 9, please. I want you to see this. Here's an example of the Lord tearing down a barrier. Tearing down a wall or a fence, if you want to call it that. But it was needful for us that He should do this. And I want you to see the connection that is made here. Look at chapter 9, please, beginning at verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and of a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table of showbread, which is called the sanctuary. That's what we call the holy place. All right. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, why could they not speak of that? They were not in possession at that time of the Ark of the Covenant. It was gone. By the time of Paul, it was gone. There's been all kinds of movies made about finding the Ark of the Covenant, and there have been speculation that the Israelites have had it hidden for thousands of years, and they're going to unveil it someday. I've heard the story that they've already made duplicates of it, following the Bible's prescription for that. I don't know. But I know, he says, we can't speak particularly of that because we are not in possession of it. Verse 6, now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But in the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood. Now stop for just a moment. Every time he went each year into the Holy of Holies, he had to have something with him. And what was it? Blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But that blood was ineffectual, we're told in the book of Hebrews, chapters 9 and 10. The blood of bulls and goats could not cleanse us of our sin. It was a picture of what was coming. So they went in there with the blood of the offering, the sacrifice. And they would approach the mercy seat. We're talking about the high priest. And he would sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat. And it was to be a covering. That's what the word atonement means. To cover. It was to cover our sin. Now, what was inside the chest of the Ark of the Covenant? Aaron's rod, which budded. Remember the almond rod? And then also we found what? Okay, the manna. And then also the tables of the tablets of the law that were given. Those were all there. The law required what? Sin requires punishment. The wages of sin is death. That was all pictured right there. And the high priest would sprinkle the blood there as a covering, looking forward to the day when the last sacrifice would be made for atonement, and that would be the one that would be sufficient. And that's the offering of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read in Hebrews chapter 9 that the Lord Jesus entered in to the holy place in heaven with his blood. Some people get all bent out of shape. Oh, he didn't actually take his literal blood. I don't know that. The Bible says that he did. And people that have a problem with that say, well, he took something that was temporary. Remember, there is the first human in heaven with a body is whom? Jesus Christ. He has a human body in heaven. There are no other humans in heaven right now other than spirits. Does everybody understand that? So Jesus entered into the Holy of Holies with his blood, and it was accepted as a propitiation of the Father's wrath against sin, and the Father was satisfied. That's a beautiful picture that's made there. Once for all, remember, the tabernacle and the temple were a picture of the one that's in heaven. There is a temple in heaven. Not built with hands, the Bible says. Whenever God gave the dimensions for everything, he was taking the pattern of what was in heaven and he made it here upon earth. And it's literally, and you've shown this in your studies on the temple, you actually built some things. We had it out here on the front lawn. Remember that years ago? We have them somewhere. Some of those pieces of furniture are still on campus somewhere. I'm not sure where. I think they're at Aunt Carolyn's house in the garage over there. It used to be in the apartment building, but not anymore because that's our academy building. But I remember that. It's all a picture of what person? Jesus Christ. Every aspect of the bread of life, the manna. All right? We find the sacrifice is a picture of Christ. All the details of that are given to us. The seven candlesticks of that representing the perfection of God and the light of the world. The incense, the altar of incense, the prayers of the people of God unto God. All that are pictures of Christ, the mediator, the one who brings our request to the Father. So, let's continue reading here. The Holy Ghost, this signifying, verse 8, the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while as the first tabernacle was not standing, which was a figure for the time then present in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect. All those sacrifices, all those offerings, all the various five different types of offerings that were brought, right? The sacrifice, the burnt offering, you had the meal offering, you had the oil offering, you have all these different sacrifices, and none of them could make the person offering the sacrifice perfect. It was all foreshadowing and a picture of what would happen in the future. And they did this year after year after year after year. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of animals. From the time of creation, when Adam sinned and the first sacrifices were made, up to the time of Jesus. By the way, there are no sacrifices being offered today and hasn't been for over 2,000 years. That's an amazing thing. It all came to a halt. The Romans would not permit it. And so it was not offered in the tabernacle. What a picture we have, because Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that. Look over at chapter 10. I want you to notice this as we continue to look at Hebrews' statement concerning that in verses 19 through 20, the significance of the veil. Notice, please. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. That's a reference to the Holy of Holies. By whose blood? The blood of Jesus. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So now we see that the veil of the Old Testament temple, tabernacle, and the Herod's temple, all those different temples that were built, Zerubbabel's temple, and going back to Solomon's temple and the tabernacle that Moses built, all of them were types and of the picture of Jesus Christ. That curtain was the only way that you could access God the Father, whose presence was represented in the Holy of Holies. How can a human being communicate with God the Father? It was through Jesus Christ. He was the veil, and he was rent for us. Notice this, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us. Consecrated simply means what? Set apart. Set apart for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled. What's that a reference to? Having our hearts sprinkled. The hyssop, the dipping in the blood. Our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Very quickly, I want to finish up here. I want you to look at a couple of things. I already described the curtain there, and this passage here, Jesus Christ, the veil, rent for us. I want you to see that this middle wall, and we looked at this last time, this middle wall of partition has been made available, broken down, because of the work of Jesus Christ. Folks, the barrier was necessary because of sin. Our sin broke fellowship with God. Every day, God came to communicate with Adam and with Eve in the garden. You remember that? Mm-hmm. Every day they came to fellowship and to talk. And can you imagine the conversations that took place? God revealing Himself personally to them as His Spirit moved in the garden, they moved with Him. That fellowship they had, but it was broken because of sin. And a curtain was drawn that separated mankind from the, and by the way, Adam and Eve knew it. They knew it immediately. They saw that they were naked. And they went and tried to clothe themselves. And when God came searching for them, where were they? They were hiding. Because they knew they were, they had been gifted at that moment with a conscience to know right and wrong, good and evil. And every child that's born into this world has some measure of conscience. The Bible says it's the law written in their hearts, Romans chapter 2. But I want you to think for just a moment how much we owe Jesus Christ. Tonight, right now, as we're sitting in here, we can go right into the presence of God the Father. Amen. And we have every right to do so because of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Every right.
Amen. I never have understood that. It says having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Exactly that.
Yeah. Remember, the Ark of the Covenant was laid there. And within it were the tables of the law, the manna, the Aaron, all of it speaking of the law, telling us what? What did the law say?
We're sinners.
We break the law. Even if we break one commandment, we have broken them all, the Bible says. So what do we need? We need the work of Jesus. It was His blood that was sprinkled on our behalf. And that blood is applied to us. Not in some sick and weird way, but in the picture of His shed blood cleansing us from our sin. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone unto his own way. But what is the other side? And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all.
Amen.
Your access and my access at any moment of the day is based upon a torn curtain. We have complete access through Jesus Christ. And so many times He's the last one we go to. When we're having a battle, we're having a difficulty, something comes up in our life, and we try to figure it out. All right? Good luck with that. Good luck with that. We have access to the Father through the rent veil, who is Jesus Christ. Access. Oh, Lord Jesus, I don't know what to do in this situation. Will You show me what to do? Reveal Your will in this particular situation. I can go to Him as a child to a father through the broken, torn veil. I want to ask you a question tonight. Are you thankful tonight that the veil is torn?
Amen.
There's nothing between us and the Father. You said, yeah, but I still sin. I still do things wrong. Yes, but you're under the blood. You're under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Father sees us, He sees His Son. That's the picture. So when we enter into His presence, we're entering in the person of Jesus Christ, His righteousness, which allows us to go to Him and just pour our hearts to Him. Folks, this is the beauty of what salvation has done and what Christ did for us on that cross. That Matthew would say the moment that He gave up the ghost, the curtain was torn and thrown open. Can you imagine the scurrying that went on that day? I have no idea. We have no record that they tried to sew it back together again. But I'm sure that Herod and his people were not happy what happened. That beautiful piece of curtain ripped open. But it needed to be ripped open. because it would forever show us that you and I have access to the Father through Jesus Christ. We're joint heirs. That means something. Joint heirs. Jesus has access to the Father. In Jesus Christ, I have access to the Father. I don't have to beg Him. I don't have to plead with Him and say, "Oh God, please let me come into your presence." No, we have access through Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that some barriers have been broken down by Jesus Christ. The wall of partition that was between the Jew and the Gentile. The curtain which was between all of us and the Father because of our sin. But now atonement had been made. And that rent curtain was a sign that God the Father accepted everything that Jesus had done on the cross. He was satisfied. That's what propitiation means, by the way. It means to satisfy the debt. Propitiation. The Father was satisfied. God is now reconciled to sinners. And what is our job as a ministry of reconciliation? Be ye reconciled unto God. God's done the reconciliation. He's made the way possible for us to come to Him. Now you be reconciled to God. This torn curtain, broken down, ripped apart from the top downward, is a reminder of the glorious access that you and I have through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father in heaven, I thank you for the Scriptures. I thank you for the many fences that we've studied in this little short series. But I'm so thankful for these two that we've covered over the last two Sunday nights. The middle wall of partition that's been torn down between Jew and Gentile. We all come to faith in Christ and we are put into the church, which is His body. But then also the glorious fact that we have access to the Father. Jesus Christ the righteous is the veil that was rent. And we now are recognized before the Father through Jesus Christ and His righteousness. Oh Lord, help us to keep that way clean and clear, always to go to You, not allowing ourselves to be diverted from that access. But help us, Father, to constantly go. That's why You encourage us, pray without ceasing. Come into My presence. Holy Spirit of God bears witness with us. We thank You for that. I pray that You would encourage us with Your Word tonight. And may we be thankful for what Jesus Christ accomplished on Calvary's tree. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.